We're now on the bottom of Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, and we're five lines up from the bottom at the two dots, quoting a pasuk in Yeshayahu and Navi, referring to Sancheriv Melech Ashur. And the Gemara is going to quote a three-way machlokes between Rav Yochanan, Rav Lazar, Rav Shmuel about this pasuk. The Malach destroyed the enemies and the military soldiers of Sancheriv at night, and we'll read the whole pasuk. V'lachen yishalach ha'adon Hashem tzvakos b'mishmanov razon. And when the armies of Sancheriv, the king of Ashur, went up to Yerushalayim to battle at the time of Chizkiah Melech Yehuda, and the Malach Hashem, during the nighttime, destroyed them and killed 185,000 people, as recorded in Malachim Beis. The pasuk says, "V'tachas kvodo yekad yikod ki yikod esh," and beneath, which is v'tachas, his honor, there shall be kindled a flame like the burning of a fire. Om Rabbi Yochanan, v'tzachas kvodo v'lo kvodo mamish. Beneath his honor teaches us that only that which was beneath his honor was burned, but not his honor itself, not his actual honor. And the word honor here, kvodo, is a reference to a person's clothing. So that when the Malach killed the armies of Sancheriv, and the bodies of the people were burned, but their begadim were not burnt. Mitachas lebegadim, underneath their garments there shall be kindled a flame, and that's going to kill them and burn their bodies. But that's beneath their garments, and the garments were untouched by the fire. And this is Rabbi Yochanan Letamei, according to his shita that we had on Omid Aleph, the Rabbi Yochanan Kari Lamone Mechabdosai, that the word Mechabdai means my garments. So therefore, tachas kvodo yikod yikodi means underneath the begodim, that's where the fire burned. Rabbi Elazar Omer, it is true that their bodies burned and their garments did not burn, but the pasuk can be explained in a different way. Tachas kvodo, hainu tachas kvodo mamish. The word kvodo is a reference to the guf itself, not to the begodim. And the word tachas means chalipin, as a replacement. And that means instead of the guf, and a tmura for the guf, was efer usreifa ki yakod esh, was fire, flame, and what we said before was the kindling of a fire with a flame, a burning fire. So that Rabbi Elazar agrees with Rabbi Yochanan that the garments of the that were worn on the bodies of the soldiers of Sancheriv were untouched by the fire. But he disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan as to how to interpret the word kvodo and the word vitachas. It means that according to Rabbi Lazar, kvodo is a reference to the body. That's the honor. Rabbi Lazar does not refer to his garments as things that honor me. Tachas, in place of, not underneath. Like, for example, the pasuk in Shmos in Parshas Yisro Parshas Mishpat says Tachas Hashor. So what this pasuk is conveying is that in place of the bodies of the army of the Assyrian army, there would be fire and ashes, indicating that their bodies would be consumed in fire, but their clothes would remain untouched. Rab Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omar Tachas Kvodo Kisrefas Bnei Aaron Malahalon, just like by Nodav Aviu, the sons of Aaron, there was a Srefas Neshama, and only the soul was burnt. The Ilu Haguf Shalahem Nishar Kayom Afkan, with regard to Tzva Sancheirev, there was only a Srefa of the soul. The soul was burned. The Ilu Haguf Nishar Kayom, but the bodies remained intact. And that means that Tachas Leguf, underneath the body, Bara Eish V'Sarfas Nishmasam. So that according to Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, we interpret the word V'Tachas like Rav Yochanan, that it means underneath. But the language Kvodo, he interprets like Rabbi Elazar, that it's referring to the goof, not to the begotten. So therefore, he has to interpret that the goof itself was not burnt, but tachas le goof on bara esh, and that's below the goof, which is the neshava, that's what was burnt. The Gemara equates the burning of the soldiers of Sancheirev, the army of Sanhedrin, to the death of Bnei Aaron. For sure, we would have to assume that the Srefas Neshama of theirs was not equal to that of the Bnei Aaron. That's for sure not so. Bnei Aaron are called by the Pasuk B'Krovai Ekadesh. And the Medrash tells us that Moshe told Aaron that I knew at least that there would be a Kiddush Hashem in our family, in our bias, by the Miuah, those who are selected. And I thought it was either me or you. Now I see that they're even greater than we are. But rather, the explanation is that Nifrida Nishmasam Migufam V'ilu B'Srefas Neshama Shalchel Sancheirev HaKavona Shenisrafa Nishmasam Pshuta Kimashmo. Whereas in the Bnei Aaron, there was a separation between the Nisham and the Guf. In the case of the army of Sancheirev, the Nishama was burnt. Literally, Pshuta Kimashmo. The Gemara is going to bring another statement that teaches us that the wearing of Begadim, a special Begadim that are designated, have covet to them. That's a derech covet. And here we're going to turn to Daf Kufyud Dalid Amid Aleph. Omar Rabbi Acha Bar Abba Omar Rabbi Yochanan Minayin L'Shinu B'godim in HaTorah. How do we know that the Torah considers changing one's garments to be called derech kavod, that's the way of honor? And we might be talking here about kavod Shabbos, or maybe for Torah, or for tefillah. Anything that's avodas Hashem deserves a change of garments. Sheneba, based on a pasuk in Vayikra Perek Vav, with regard to the Kohen who takes the Deshen off the Mizbeach, which is called the Haromas HaDeshen, Trumas HaDeshen, the Efer that was the ashes that were burnt on the Mizbeach from the Karbonos. Uposhad is Pekodo, Velovash Pekodo Macherim, we'll read the whole Pasuk, Vahotziyas HaDeshen, El Michutza Machnel Makom Tahar. Before he takes out the Deshen, which is not an Avoda of any great significance, the Kohen has to change his Pekodim. And he wears lesser begadim, less significant begadim. And those are called begadim pchusim, And when he's ready to do the avoda chashuva, then he wears begadim chashuvim. So that only when he does the otzas adeshen, in order not to get filthy, that his garment should not be soiled, therefore he wears these begadim achirim, which are pchusim, as we said before. And pchusim probably means shchakim, which means they are partially disintegrated, or perhaps they're made from a lower, cheaper kind of linen, which is not embroidered with gold. And all this is to make sure that when they do the avodas hachashuvos, they should wear the proper begad, v'tana tebei Rabbi Shmuel. We have a drasha in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel, limdecha, limedcha, HaTorah derech eretz, the Torah is teaching us derech eretz, that we should behave and imitate the Kohen. And just like the Kohen was noeg, when he got to his avoda, like a servant in front of his Rebbe, is begodim shebishel bahem, kedera l'rabo, al yimzog lehem kos l'rabo. He wears certain clothing that he cooks in, and while he cooks, the clothing become what we call meluchlochim, that's somewhat soiled. And it's not derech kavod that when he gets to pour the cup of wine for his master, that he should be wearing the same begadim that he wore when he cooked the food for his Rebbe, for his Adon. So too the Kohen, when he takes out the deshen, he should change his garments beforehand. He should wear, as we said before, begadim pchusim, and he shouldn't do avodos that are similar to achila and shesia, like for example, haktora, right, in parallel to achila shesia in the metaphor of the servant, like for example, haktoras karbonos nisuch hayayin. Those should be different begadim, as opposed to the begadim that he wears when he takes out the deshen. Om Rab Chia Bar Abba, Om Rab Yochanan, Gnaihu L'Talmid Chacham, Sheyetze B'min Olim Hametuloyim Lashuk. It's a disgrace for a scholar to go out in public wearing ripped shoes, which he fixes up with Taloy. And Taloy, I think, would be scrapes of discarded pieces of perhaps leather or patches made of cloth or whatever he uses to patch up his shoes. So Gemara asks the question, Vohar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina Nofik, he actually went out with patched shoes. How is he able to do so? Omer Rav Acha, Breid Rav Nachman, that which Rav Chia said, that it's a gnai, it's a disgrace for a Talmud Chacham to go out with patched shoes. He was talking about Tlai Agabi Tlai, really bad shoes. He wore patches on top of patches. In other words, it was ripped one time. He fixed it up by adding a patch, and on top of the patch, when it again got ripped, he put another patch. But if you have a shoe that's ripped once and it has one patch on it, that's not considered a disgrace. And notice that this is the same transmission that we had before of Rab Chia in the name of Rab Yochanan. Called Talmid Chacham Shenimtza Revav. He has some sort of a stain of perhaps oil or shuman or chelev al-bgado on his clothing, on his garment. He has perhaps grease or something along that line. Is chayav misa, which means that he's chayav misa b'day shamayim. The Gemara in Erevin says something similar about a Talmud Chacham, or shall we say a Talmud who spits in the presence of his Rebbe, that's that's also Chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim. The Ben Yehoyada here, the Ben Ishchai, the Gemara doesn't mean that he's Chayv Misa Mamish, but this is Halflaga the Guzma. The Gemara is trying to convey a point that there's an element here of a very severe action. It's almost a Chil Shem Shamayim. And with regard to Chil Hashem, only Misa is Mechaperes. Shenemar, we derive this from a Pasuk. And again, we're talking about the way a Chacham appears and presents himself. It's got to be Choshev, it's got to be Hagun, it's got to be Kavodat Torah. Shenemar Pasuk in Mishlei, with regard to those who despise Torah, Kol Misanai Av Umaves, Al Tikru Misanai Elamas Niai. The Pasuk says, all those who hate me, meaning the Torah, love death, don't read it as those who hate me, but rather read it as if it says those who cause others to hate me. And therefore, we're talking about Talmid Chacham, who has a stain on his garment, and it becomes kind of repulsive in the eyes of the masses, and it denigrates the Torah. People who despise Torah scholars because of the way he appears and the way he presents himself, he causes Torah to be hated. Ravina Omar, he says that this memra, the statement of Rabbi Yochanan about Ravav al-Bigdo, Ela Reved Itmar. It shouldn't say Ravav, but rather Reved. Reved is a stain from Shichvas Zora. Now exactly how he has this on his clothing, that's not crystal clear. But the Gemara does give us a little bit of an insight. Lo pligi, there's no machlokes shin Rav Chiya and Ravina, ha beglima ha belavusha. What Rav Chiya said, that even a ravav, even a stain, that's referring to beged elyon, his outer garments. And Ravina would agree that even a ravav, even a stain, is something that is disgraceful. But belavusha, Ravina, when he said that you have to change Ravav to Reved, he was referring to the Beged Tachton, which is the lower garment. Like, for example, he wears a cloak, and underneath the cloak he has a shirt on. And with regard to that shirt, which is called the Beged Tachton, Im Nimtza Shichva Zera V'chayev Misa. And here, even Rav Chiya would be moda that as far as the shirt is concerned, it's not a stain, but it's this shichvas zera. So again, when you're talking about the visible garments, the cloaks, even a grease stain is repulsive and it's disgraceful. But when we're talking about a less visible garment, like for example, a shirt, only a semen stain is considered disgraceful. Once again, I'm not exactly sure how this came about, but Omar, another statement, Omar Abchia Bar Abba, Omar Ab Yochanan, Mai Dichsiv. What does it mean in the Pasuk? In Yeshayo Anovi, it says, Vayomer Hashem, Kasher Halach Avdi Yeshayo Arom V'yachef Shalosh Sha'anim. My servant Yeshayo went naked and barefoot for 3 years. Shashem Tziva Es Yeshayo Liftoach Hasak Me'al Mosnov Bilachlots Naolov Mial Raglov Alechas Arom Vyachef Liosulmofis Al Mitraim Valkush Shemelch Ashur Yinag Es Shevi Mitraim Ves Golus Kush Neorim Uzkenim Arumim Vyachefim. So we're talking about naked and barefoot, and the Gemara says we can't take it literally that God would command his servant to spend 3 years of his life naked and barefoot. But rather, we're talking about Orom bibgodim bluim v'yochef b'min olim hametulayim. The word naked here should be understood as referring to worn-out garments, and the yochef, barefoot, means patched shoes. And even though a Torah scholar is not allowed to walk out with patched shoes, but Yeshayo was instructed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do so. And again, it's inconceivable that God would command His prophet to parade around utterly degrading manner, if you take the literal translation of this pasuk. And as we said before, this is a nevuah that foretold as an osu mofes regarding Mitzrayim and Cush, that the king of Ashur would take the captives from Mitzrayim, the Golos of Cush. He would take the Ne'orim, the Zkenim, and they would be Arumim and Yechefim. Now the Gemara brings a Mishnah that deals with Dinei Tuma V'Tara of Kalim. Tanan Hasam, we learned in a Mishnah in Masechta Mikvos, with regard to Tfilas Kli, in order to be Mitara the Kli, and a Kli that contracted Tuma needs Tfilah to Mikvah in order to be Mitarit, if you have something dovuk on the kli, which is chotzeitz between the kli and the mayim, like botzek or tit, then the tefillah is not effective. And midraisa, chatzitza only passes the tefillah if it's rubo shel kli, and if he's makvid on the chatzitza. So revav al hamardea, we have a stain of grease on the saddle of a donkey, and that's Kamin kar sheminichim al hamar, not exactly a saddle, but rather some sort of a piece of cloth that warms up the body of a hamar. A hamar is very sensitive to cold. And it's chotzeitz le'inyan tefila, which means that if the mardas was tmeya, and he puts it into the mikveh to be metaret, this tefila will not be valid, even if that ravav is very small, because people are makbin on a ravav, on this kind of a stain. And if there's kpeda, then that's a chatzitza. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, in the case of ravav al mardea, it's not a chotzitza tefila ad, unless it's ki isar haitalki. The size of this stain is like a coin which is called the isar haitalki, which is 4 gargire siora, which has the width of 4 barley kernels. A ravav that's smaller than that, people are not makpid, and therefore it's not a chatzitza. Now, if there's a ravav al bgadim, there's a stain on a cloth, if it's only on one side of the beged, then it's not chotzeitz as far as tefillah is concerned, because people are not makbid on a kesem that's only on one side of the beged. But if it's mishnei tzadim, you can see the stain through and through. That's how filthy it is. And it's now totally absorbed in the beged, such that you can see it on the other side. That's called a chatzitza. People are generally makbid on such a kesem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Af Mitzad Echad. Even if you could only see the stain on one side, people are still makvid. Boy mine Rav Shimon Lakish Mirab Chanina. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rabbi Shmuel, that a stain on a beged is chotzeitz, even if it's only on one side of the beged. So that which we said about a ravav on a merdas, it's chotzeitz. Would that also be harshly regulated by the same rule of Rabbi Yehuda, that mitzad echad, that even if the stain on this mardas is only on one side, the saddlecloth is only stained on one side, it's already a chatzitza? Oh, or perhaps mishnei tzadim, here everybody agrees that people are not makpid on this kind of a stain unless it goes through and through. Amar lei, so Rabbi Chanina responds to Reish Lakish, and he says, Zolo shamati, this I never heard. However, Kayotzi Bazeh Shamati, I heard something similar, and maybe we can answer your question through analogy. Disnan, we learned in the same Mishnah in Masechta Mikvos, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, the name Rabbi Shmuel, and he says, according to his tradition in the name Rabbi Shmuel, only if the beged is shel banoim, which are Talmidei Chachamim, then a stain is considered a chatzitza, even if it's only mitzad echad, because Talmidei Chachamim have to be makpid on their begadim, even for such a small stain that can only be visible on one side. But if we're talking about the cloth or the clothing, the garment of an amaretz, they're not makpid on the begadim so much, and therefore the kesem is only a chatzitza, such a stain which is mishnei atzadim that pierces through the begad from both sides, one side to the other. And according to that, we can perhaps give an answer to your question about the merdas, the saddle cloth on a donkey. Because if, in the case of a beged shel amaretz, the chatzitza depends upon whether it penetrates from one side to the other, only such a ravav, such a stain, is makvid, is chatzitza. Lo tehei mardas chashuva mibigdo shel amaretz. We should make an analogy between the mardas that covers the mule and the beged of an amaretz. And therefore, the conclusion to your question is that in the case of mardas, everybody would agree that it's not a chatzitza unless it goes from one side to the other. It's a two-sided stain. And that's what's going to be the halacha in the case of a saddle cloth. My banoim, what does the Mishnah mean when he uses the term banoim? We saw that in Rabbi Yossi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Elu Talmidei Chachamim Shaoskim V'Binyano Shel Olam Kol Yimeihem. The word builders here, which is the literal translation, is an allusion to the scholars who are upbuilding the world. They maintain the world, they sustain the world all their days, because the world can only go on if study of Torah is maintained throughout the world. That was the minigin valojan, that even through the night there was always a shift that was learning. So the 24 hours they would be learning Torah. Torah is called a bris. And if not for the bris, chuko shamayim lo samti, we need the Torah. Therefore the Torah scholar has to be very concerned that his clothing be absolutely immaculate. And there should be no stain even on one side of the cloth, and that would be a chatzitza in the case of his begadim, as far as tevila is concerned. So the pasuk in Yirmiyah again in Lo Brisi Yomam V'Laila Chuko Shamayim Varetz Lo Samti, that the world is kept up, it's sustained through Limud HaTorah. And you'll find in the Marsha here that Umnaso Shal Hakadosh Baruch Hu Bebriyas HaOlam, we see God's great artsmanship, or He's a builder, he's a creator. God is an uman, he's a tremendous professional. And al shlosha dvarim olam obed, the first of the three things, the pillars on which the world stands, is Torah. And Torah is therefore called binyano shel olam. And we have also avodah and gemilas chasodim, and that too is a key, is miskayim through talmidei chachamim who study the Torah. The Omar Rab Yochanan Ezu Talmud Chachan Shemachzirin Lo Aveda B'Tvias Ayin. The halacha in a general case of Hashavas Aveda requires that if someone comes to claim the object, he has to give a siman. The exception to that is Tvias Ayin of a Talmud Chachan, that he looks at the object and he can tell you that it's definitely his object. He can identify it based on just the way he looks at it and sees it, its appearance. And we trust the Talmud Chacham without any hesitation. But who fits that category of a Talmud Chacham that we return the Avedah to him with Tvias Ayin Zah Makpid Al Chaluko Lahofcho? Which means that if by accident he put on his garment inside out, then he'll immediately put it right side up, so that no one will see the sewing, you know, the stitches that are a little bit magunos, that are a little bit disgraceful. and those are on the inside of the garment. And if he wears it upside down, inside out, then people will see the gnai of a Talmud Chacham, and therefore he turns it the other way around. Okay, so we're talking about a situation where if he wears it inside out, then people will see the seams, the rough edges, the rough stitches, and therefore he's going to make sure, meticulous, to turn it back the way it is. And thus such a person, we could categorize him as a Torah scholar on that level, where we can return a lost article to him based on Tvias Ayin alone. Furthermore, V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan, Talmud, Ezu Talmud Chacham Shememanen Oso Parnos Al Atzibur, who should be appointed as a leader in his community? What kind of Talmud Chacham? Zesh Sholen Oso Dvar Loch B'chol Mokom V'Omer, ask him a question anywhere, and he has an answer for you. V'afilu B'Meseches Kala, even if you'll ask him a halachic question, the answer to which you'll find in Meseches Kala, which is one of the tractates of the Talmud that joins together Brisos, and the beginning of Masechta Kala is Kala below Bracha Asura Labayla Kanida, and you'll see it in certain editions of the Vilna Shas after Masechta's Horios, Edios, and Avos, and these are called the minor tractates, and normally people don't study these tractates, but he's the master of the entire Talmud. And he's taken the initiative to study even a Masechta like Kala. He's a person who could be appointed over the Tzibur. Ein HaTzibur Rogel Lilmod Masechta Kala. And he's a person who knows how to give answers to all questions. This reminds us of Veshinantam Levanecha Shinun Sheyut Divrei Torah Mechudodim Beficha Vel Al Tegamge El Tomer Lo Miad. He asks you a question, you can give him an answer. Now today, there are very few people on the face of the earth that you can ask them anywhere in Shas and they'll give you an answer, any halacha, and they have an answer. Those are the true, outstanding scholars of our generation. And even though we learned Daf Yomi, at least we started the project, we'll see if it's Hashem, if we can continue and complete it, but nevertheless, Daf Yomi is probably not going to give you enough knowledge, unless you review it a million times, such that you'll be able to answer any question anybody asks you. Furthermore, I'm wondering about someone who, instead of giving you an absolute answer on the spot, he's oriented in your question. He knows more or less which direction to take it. He can research it further and then give you the answer. Perhaps he also would fit into this category that we can appoint him as a manig on the tzibur. Today in our day, hanhagas hatzibur requires a lot of administrative capabilities, and rabbanim who are hired are very often hired not only because of their knowledge and their charisma, but also because of their abilities to run a shul, to put all things together, and these are administrative abilities. Not everyone is blessed with that. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan, furthermore, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ezu Talmud Chacham Shnei Iro Mitzuvim Lasos Lo Malachto. It means that the members of the community have to guarantee that the Talmud Chacham should be free so that he can dedicate himself Yom of Alayla to the study of Torah. They'll do the Malacha for him. Zeh Sheminiach Cheftzo V'osek Bechefte Shomayim. This is a person who has total trust and relies on Hashem so that he dedicates himself to Cheftzei Shamayim. He doesn't bother with his own personal needs, but rather he's dedicated to the community that he serves. That's called Cheftzei Shamayim. And the Bnei Ha'ir, it's suitable, it's fit that they should be Matriach for him, so that he could have covered a Torah that he deserves, and he could be a leader dedicated to his people. Hani mili lemitrach birifte. To what extent are we responsible to support the leaders of our community? And the Gemara says that's to the extent that we provide for the scholars bread, and that's called rifte. his bread, so that the community has to provide for the necessities of life. That's what bread refers to, but not necessarily for luxuries. That's already going way beyond the call of duty. And this is called Kidei L'Parnaso, Kidei Parnasoso. And it's something that he, the Talmud Chacham, doesn't have time as a leader of the people of his community to be Toreach B'Atzmo. He needs the bread. And beyond that, as we said, that's not obligatory. Now, if this Talmud Chacham is independently wealthy, then we don't have that responsibility weighing on his shoulders to be mefarnes him. V'yachol gam l'shalim b'yad poel shi'yase b'shvilo, let him use his finances, his monies, to pay someone to work on his behalf, and therefore the community is exempt in such a case. V'yomer Rabbi Yochanan, furthermore, ezu talmud chacham kol shesholeno so halachim b'chol mokom v'omra. And now Rabbi Yochanan seems to be repeating what we saw before. Who should we appoint as a leader of the community? We can ask him anywhere in Halacha, and he knows the answer. But here is Rabbi Yochanan talking about the same concept that we saw before of Parnes al Atzibur. Well, let's read the next part of the Gemara. The Gemara says, L'maynaf gimina, for what din and to what position are we talking about that the Talmud Chacham is considered a real, genuine, full-fledged Talmud Chacham? Maynaf gemina, leminuye parnas al hatzibur. And again, even though Rabbi Yochanan already told us that to appoint someone, a Talmud Chacham, as the leader of the community, we have to have a person who reaches the caliber that if we ask him a Dvar Halacha anywhere, he can answer us. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan had to repeat himself to teach us something else. And what is that? Ibechada mesechta. If he knows how to answer halacha in one mesechta, and that's the mesechta that he's dedicating his studies to right now, he's involved, we say in Yiddish, he's a rangatan, he's totally dedicated to that mesechta. But if you ask him in other mesechtas, he cannot necessarily come up with the answer because he's not holding, as we'd say. Is bi'asrei, in his makom, we can appoint him as a parnas. But that's only a limited kind of limited leadership. He's the leader, the spiritual leader of a well-circumscribed, limited community. But if you can ask him anywhere, in any mesechta in Shas, and he can give you an answer on the spot, that means even if he's learning one mesechta, he knows how to answer in another mesechta, then Beresh Mesifta. Then we should appoint such a person as the head of the entire community, all the community, not just one limited part of the community. And here I'm wondering how to reconcile this with the Gemara at the beginning of Shabbos that we learned, that the Gemara says about Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, that he's learning one mesechta, he shouldn't ask him a question from a different mesechta. And here the Gemara seems to advocate that we can ask him from a different mesechta. Leave this question right now in the back burners, but I do want to emphasize that we should put a star here, an asterisk on this last statement of Rabbi Yochanan, which is different than the statements of Rabbi Yochanan that came earlier. When Rabbi Yochanan earlier was talking about a Talmud Chacham, it was vis-a-vis a certain halacha, let's say Achzoras Aveda, and if he's makbid on his beged, then he wouldn't go out with a kesem. We can return an Aveda to him with Tfiyas Ayin. Even though he's not a great, outstanding Talmud Chacham, that's going to come up here at the end of this sugya. Or for example, if we want to appoint a particular scholar as the leader in a local community, if he knows how to answer halacha questions in this inyan, in this one area, we can actually appoint him as a parnas in that as far as that area is concerned. If he's a talmud chacham in other things, well, we can say that the bnei iro are obligated to support him. And that's someone who's osek b'cheftzi shamayim. He's osek, he dedicates himself to tzorchei tzibur, and we have to therefore supply his tzrochim for him. Here, where we put the asterisk in the last statement of Rabbi Yochanan, when Rabbi Yochanan asks Ezu Talmud Chacham, he means to say a Talmud Chacham Gomur. He's completely a Talmud Chacham. And we don't have to say he's a Talmud Chacham vis-a-vis X, Y, or Z. We can ask him anywhere in Shas, and he knows the answer. He could be appointed as a leader, not only locally, but as the Rosh Hashiva for the entire Jewish community. The Gemara at this point goes back to what we saw in the Mishnah earlier about Rabbi Yossi, that the beged, the garment of Banoim, have a special law for Chatzitza, that even if there's a Ravav on one side of his garment, it doesn't go some, it doesn't penetrate through and through on both sides, then if he's a Talmud Chacham who's makpid on his beged, it becomes a Chatzitza. Now the Gemara offers an alternative interpretation for the words of Rabbi Yossi about a beged shel banoim. Rav Shimon ben Lakish Omar, the begadim shel banoim that Rabbi Yossi referred to, elu kelim ha'ol yarim. These are the begadim of the balonim of the merchatz. These were those individuals whose job it was to take care of the bathhouses. And they are called balonim, but they're also referred to as banoim. And then Rav Shlokish says, Aboim mibedina sayam, there are balonim that come from far away, from Medina Sayam, and aluntios chashuvos. In other words, these are begodim that, because they come from across the seas, they travel across the seas, they are saturated with water, and sofkim behem es hamayim kshayotzim mibeis hamerchatz, kidei shanoshim chashuva yotzim beis hamerchatz yisatvu behem. So we're talking about special begadim, which are called Ola Yorin. Okay, that's Ola Yorin. And in the garments of these attendants who are in charge of the bathhouse, they are made from fine materials that come from abroad. So the way that Rashi interprets this, not the way we suggested before, we're not distinguishing these people because they themselves come from abroad, but rather they import fine materials that come from abroad. And not only that, there were distinguished people who came into the bath, and the bathhouse attendants would provide special towels for these distinguished people. These towels were made of imported cloth, and in regard to these special garments, the Mishnah states that even a one-sided stain is a chatzitza, because there's going to be makbid, they're going to be makbid on these garments, even if they have a slight stain, because these were such special garments and towels that were imported and made from expensive cloth for the sake of distinguished people, and the balonim had to be ready for these people. They had to have an ample supply of these kinds of begadim. And when the Mishnah uses the term banoim, it's not related to the word bone, to build, but rather it's associated with an Aramaic term, which is ki, or bi, I should say, bi bonai. Okay, has to do with a bathhouse, bi bonai. So in light of Reish Lakish's new interpretation, the Mishnah, in its last clause, is explained as referring to a case in which an Amoritz, a boor, is wearing these distinguished garments. He's not cultivated enough to appreciate perhaps their importance, and he's not concerned about a one stain. So for a boor, a two-sided stain is the requirement in order to get a chatzitza, or that would be a chatzitza. But if you're talking about the balonim, those who are bathhouse attendants, they spend lots of money and they appreciate these special towels. They are makbid even on a one-sided stain. The Gemara asks the following kasha on Reish Lakish, Lenemra de Chivare Ninhu, should we assume that these Kalim Ha'ilayirin that come from materials abroad are white garments, and therefore people are makbid on even a small stain? But what would you say about red garments, for example? And that's not disgraceful if it has a stain on it, because you can hardly see the stain on a red garment. Va'amar lehu Rav Yanai lebonav, bonai, al tik baruni, lo bekem levonim v'lo bekelim shchorim. Levonim, don't bury me in white garments. Shema lo ezke, perhaps I won't be zocher to go into Gan Eden. And I'll sit amongst those who are judged for the other place, not Gan Eden. And they have black faces. Kishulei akedera v'yeya kachasa ben avelim, I'll look like a chassan would look if he's amongst avelim, amongst those who are mourners in grief, because I'm wearing begadim levonim. Don't bury me in begadim shchorim. Shema ezke, perhaps I will merit to go into Gan Eden. The tzaddikim in Gan Eden are wearing begadim levonim, white clothes that indicate their purity. Now I'm like a mourner amongst the those who celebrate the wedding. Elo, but rather bury me bekelim ha'ol yorin ha'boim medina sayam, which are neither white nor black. And this is a problem according to Reish Lakish, who assumes that even the smallest stain can be visible, even if it's one-sided, on these types of begadim ol yorin, which would mean probably they're white. Is Alma, it seems from the statement of Rabbi Yanai to his children, that sumke ninu, that these ol yorin that he's referring to are kelim, which come from materials abroad, but they are red, they're neither black nor white. Whereas Reish Lakish seems to indicate that these begadim are certainly white. Lo kasha habaglimi habalavushe. When Rabbi Yanai spoke about red garments, he was talking about the outer cloak, the Beged Elyon that we spoke about before. It's a little bit on the red side. But when we speak about Reish Lakish, he's talking about Levushe. Those are the garments that are on the Levush HaTachton, like the shirts, and they are made of a white color. Their color is white. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Mekaplan. Okay. It's really interesting when you think about it that Rav Yanai told his sons that he's not sure, which way he's going to go. I mean, what does that say about us? If Rav Yanai wasn't sure exactly where he would end up. I wonder what in Rav Yanai's time, what kind of begadim did they bury people in? Was it black? Was it white? He doesn't seem to be excited about red. Our minhag today is to bury the dead in white garments. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel Omer Mekaplim es hakelim matzien es hamitos miyom hakipurim l'shabbos v'chelvei shabbos krevim biyom hakipurim. So the underlying premise of Rabbi Shmuel is that Kedushas Shabbos is greater than Kedushas Yom HaKippurim, and therefore we could prepare the beds and the kelim for Shabbos on Yom HaKippurim. Not only that, if you have the chelev that's left over from the karbon, you could be makrivit on Shabbos. I'm sorry, that the Chelvei Shabbos, you can be makriv on Yom Kippur, because, again, we're going to a lower Kedusha, but the reverse, if you have Chelvei Hakrova of the Karbonos of Yom HaKippurim, that cannot violate, you cannot burn them and override the Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, says that these two Kedushos of Yom Kippur and Shabbos are equal, and therefore we're not going to be makriv the Karbonos of Yom HaKippurim. When I mean the Karbonos, I mean the Chelev Yom HaKippurim on Shabbos and not Shabbos on Yom HaKippur. Tana Rabbana, we learned in a Braisa The Torah tells us in Parshas Pinchas, at the end of the Korban Musaf of Shabbos, Olas Shabbos B'Shabbato. And this pasuk is going to teach us that it's as if you read it, Olas Shabbos B'Shabbos, which means that you're allowed to be Maktir, the Ola of Shabbos, from one Shabbos to another Shabbos. We cannot interpret this pasuk at face value, kipshuto, that we're referring to the next Shabbos, because in between it becomes nosar. So what does it mean when it says, by implication, that you're allowed to be makter all the Shabbos from one Shabbos to the next? How are you going to circumvent the problem of nosar? It's not roi lak Torah. But rather, what it's telling me is that Limed al cheve Shabbos shemakrivim shekrevim biyom haKippurim. So if Yom HaKippurim is on a Sunday, then even though Yom HaKippurim is also called Shabbos, but nevertheless, you could be maktir the Ola Shabbos in the next Shabbos, which means tomorrow on Yom HaKippurim. Yochol, I might think, af shel Yom HaKippurim b'Shabbos. Maybe we are allowed, therefore, to be makriv the chalovim of the korbanos of Yom HaKippurim on Shabbos. Let's say if Shabbos is on Motzei Yom Kippur, Talmud Lomar b'Shabbato. The Torah adds the letter vav. It doesn't just say Ola Shabbos b'Shabbos, but Ola Shabbos b'Shabbato. And that vav is coming as a mute, as an exclusion, to teach us that there is a Shabbos she'ein chalovav kravim b'Shabbos acheres. That if you have two Shabbosos, again, they're one day after the other, right? Because otherwise there'd be a problem of nosar, that you cannot be makriv the chalovim of one Shabbos on another Shabbos, meaning the chalovim of Yom HaKippurim cannot be nikrav, they cannot be burnt on Shabbos Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So we have, according to Rabbi Shmuel, a Yalfusa for one direction. That means we could go from Yom HaKippurim to Shabbos, and that means that we can go from Shabbos to Yom HaKippurim, that the Chelve Shabbos could be brought on Yom HaKippurim, but not the reverse. You cannot be makriv the Chalovim of Yom HaKippurim on Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva Omer, he has a substitute drosh in this pasuk. Olas Shabbos b'Shabbato, limed al chelve Shabbos shekrevim b'yontif. Okay, now we're talking about a relationship between Shabbos and Yontif. And in Rabbi Akiva's framework, we have to understand that even Yontif is called Shabbos. However, here is where we're going to say that the Kedusha of this Shabbos, meaning of a Yontif as Shabbos, is relatively on a lower scale than that of the Kedusha of Shabbos. So therefore, the Chelve Shabbos are Chamura vis-a-vis Yontif, which is called Kal. However, what that would mean is that if Yontif is Chal on Sunday, you would be able to be makriv the Chelbe Shabbos on that Sunday, which is Yontif. And that's called, in Rabbi Kiva's language, Chelbe Shabbos craving the Yontif. Yochal, I might think, the other way around, that we should extend this not only to a regular Yontif, but even upgrade it to Yom HaKippurim, is Chelve Shabbos Kravim Af B'Yom HaKippurim, meaning that Yom HaKippurim, like Yontif, is on a lower level than Shabbos. So just like we can, if Yontif falls on a Sunday, we could be Makriv the Chelve Shabbos on Sunday, so too I might think that if Yom HaKippurim is Chal on Sunday, I could be Makriv the Chelev of Ola Shabbos on Yom HaKippurim, Tamalomer B'Shabbato, meaning the Torah adds that Vav of B'Shabbato as a mute, and that teaches us that Chelbe Karbonishal Shabbos, if Yom HaKippurim is on a Sunday, we cannot override Yom HaKippurim and burn the Aktora of the Ola Shabbos on Yom HaKippurim, and how much more so in the case where Shabbos is on a sun is on Motzei Yom Kippur, we certainly it goes without saying on the Kal Vachomer that you cannot burn the Chelva Yom Kippur on Shabbos. The Gemara now suggests one interpretation of the underlying machlokus, what underlies the Yisod HaPlugta here. Kshetim Tzalomer, you might say that Lidiri Rabbi Shmuel, Nidorim Unidavos, Kravim Biyontif. Rabbi Shmuel holds like that opinion, that you're allowed to be makriv, even karbonis that are not obligatory, which are called Nidorim and Nidavos on Yontif, and those karbonis override the Yontif, and even though there's no urgency, he doesn't have to be makriv these karbonos on Yontif. He can bring them after Yontif. They're not related. They're not time urgent or time sensitive. Nevertheless, the mitzvah of Nidarim Nidavos overrides Trump's Yontif. How much more so that you can be makriv chelve karbonos, which were karbonos that were brought bismanom in their proper time on Shabbos. And you did the Shechita and so forth and so on, all the Avodos on Shabbos, Bismanom, all the Shabbos B'Shabbato, but he didn't get a chance to be Maktir, the Chalovim on the Mizbeach, to burn the fats on the Mizbeach. We don't even need a Pasuk to teach me that Chelvei Shabbos are no worse than Nidarim Nidavos. And if Nidarim Nidavos override Yontif, then certainly Chelvei Shabbos would override Yontif. Therefore, what are we going to do with this Pasuk? V'chiyitzer Kra, right? What are we going to do with the Pasuk? Ola Shabbos B'Shabbato, which is coming to be Matir something, is Yitzer Kra Yom HaKippurim, to be Matir Haktoras Chelvei Shabbos on Yom Kippur. But Lidivri Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, he holds Nidarim and Nidavos ain craven b'yontif, that Nidarim and Nidavos did not override Yontif, v'chi yitzrich kra, and therefore the pasuk of Ola Shabbos b'Shabbato, that's only coming to be matir, haktoras chelvei Shabbos b'yontif, l'mishrei b'yontif. And that's a very, very sharp and profound analysis of the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Now we have a braisa that the Gemara is quoting now back on Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis, that on Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos, they would blow the shofar with six tkios to tell the people that it's time to gradually separate themselves from Malacha and to be mavdil between Kodesh and Chol. And there's a mishnah also in Chulin that we should mention, that if Yontif is on Erev Shabbos, they would be Tokea, Somach L'Knisa Shabbos, in order to be Mavdil the Yom from those Malachos which, although they're permissible on Yontif, are prohibited on Shabbos. For example, Melechas Ochel Nefesh, which is Muteres on Yontif, but Asur Shabbos, so they blew the shofar then, from Yontif going into Shabbos. And just like the Rabbanim made a Takana to be Mavdil on Motzei Shabbos, when Motzi Shabbos is Chol, they also made a Takana to be Mavdil if it's Yontif, to go from Yontif to Chol. Now the Gemara wants to analyze whether or not they would blow on Yom Kippur, when Yom Kippur is on Erev Shabbos, in order to be Mavdil between Yom Kippur and Shabbos. No, I'm sorry, let's just go the other way around. So then, we have the case of Yom Kippur on Erev Shabbos. We have the case of Yom Kippur on Motzi Shabbos. So there are two issues about those two scenarios. Number one, will we blow on Erev Shabbos when Erev Shabbos is Yom Kippur? And number two, will there be a Havdalah on Motzi Shabbos when we enter right into Yom Kippur? And the Gemara wants to analyze whether this might depend upon the machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Omar Rabbi Zera. And here we turn to Daf Kuf Yud Dalid Omid Beis. Ki avino bebavel, when I studied Torah in Bavel before I came on Aliyat Eretz Yisrael, havi amri, I would think that hadesanya, that which we learned in a braisa, Yom HaKippurim Shechalios B'Erev Shabbos. So Yom Kippur now falls on Erev Shabbos. Lo hayu tokim sheish tkios, the normal tkios that they would blow on Erev Shabbos before Shabbos were omitted. And the reason for that is because the purpose of the tekios is to warn the people that they should desist from their melacha to be mavdil ben chol kodesh. But Yom HaKippurim has the same kedusha as kedusha Shabbos, because all the melachas that are osur on Shabbos are osur likewise on Yom HaKippurim. U'motzoi Shabbos lo yom avdilin. If Yom HaKippurim was on Motzi Shabbos, they would not make Avdola in Ma'ariv of Leil Yom HaKippurim, just like they would in any other Yontif that would be Chal on Motzi Shabbos. So if you go from Shabbos to Yontif, you make Avdola, but not when you go from Shabbos to Yom HaKippurim. And I thought that price is L'divrei HaKol. It never occurred to me that would depend upon a machlokus between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva and our Mishnah. But ki salikna lahasam, when I went on Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, that was what my thoughts were in Bavel, then ashkechise liyehuda braid Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi di Yosef v'ka'amar, I heard him recite the following brisa that Rabbi Akiva he shnuya, meaning that brisa that we studied before reflects the shita of Rabbi Akiva, who holds in our Mishnah that Chelvei Shabbos are not craven b'Yom HaKippurim, which means that Yom HaKippurim does not have a lower Kedusha, it's not Kal vis-a-vis Shabbos, but rather it's equal in its Kedusha to Shabbos. And Tkia is only appropriate when we go from Yom Kal to Yom Chomur. Just to reiterate, we're not going to be Tokea between a Yom Kal and a Yom Chomur. I'm sorry, we'll only be Tokea, I mean from a Yom Kal to Yom Chomur, but here, according to Rabbi Akiva, they're equal. To Ikar Rabbi Shmuel, but in according to Rabbi Shmuel, then, since Rabbi Shmuel holds that Chelvei Shabbos craven b'Yom HaKippurim, obviously Shabbos has a Kedusha Chamura vis-a-vis, if you compare it to Yom HaKippurim, is Liska. Therefore, the Tekios of Yom HaKippurim on Erev Shabbos should be blown to warn the people. And, for example, in Afkamina, it was to be warned the Kohanim that they shouldn't be Makriv on this Shabbos, right? Because Erev Shabbos is Yom Kippur. And they shouldn't be makriv the Chelvei Yom HaKippurim. Correct? And that has to be warned. They have to be told that. Right? And that's Lahazrus HaKonim Shelo Yakrivu B'Shabbos HaKrova Es Chelvei Yom HaKippurim. No, I'm sorry. This is a case where Yom HaKippurim is on Sunday. Right? Ki heich dilehevi yadi de Chelvei Shabbos kraven b'Yom HaKippurim. Okay then, v'amina le'anah, but Rabbi Zera disagrees with this, and he says, no, konim zrizim heim. So Mirtz Hashem, in the next shir, here on Daf Kuf Yudalid Amud Beis, on the top of the Amud, we'll give a little bit of a review of what we did, and then we'll see why Rabbi Zera disagrees.